us. I don't understand it. I can't understand it. We've sung about wondrous grace, and we've sung about how great you are, that you're a friend of sinners. And Lord, these are songs that you allowed to be written that have spoke to my heart for many, many years. And Lord, I love you when I sing the songs, and I love you when I read it in your word. And I don't deserve you at all. I deserve to be in hell. I deserve to be thrown away, but you seem fit to come to me, save me. Thank you so much for it. Now, Lord, I need you now. Lord, help me to preach as you see fit, as you direct me. Lord, not what I want, but Lord, I want to be pleased to you, give you what you want tonight. May every mind, may every heart be willing to receive the word this evening. Not just in this sanctuary, but in on the live stream, that everyone will be willing to receive the word of God tonight, that it might change us. God, please, don't let me leave the way I come in. Change me more like you tonight, I pray. And I'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I ask. And amen. Before I forget it, Brother Boyd Gaines home, but they're sick. They got some kind of crud, some kind of virus or parasite or plague or something they brought back from Africa. So you pray for them, all right? We're looking at the importance of the church, part two. I cannot, again, stress to you how important the church is, how important this church is. And I'm going to give you a little bit of information here on this first slide. And some of you, they might not be more than a half a dozen even know who I'm talking about, but that's all right. I'll explain as I go. Akron Baptist Temple in Akron, Ohio. Dallas Billington was there. He was a West Virginia guy. Went up there to work with the cars and everything, building cars and everything up there. And preacher started a church up there, Akron Baptist Temple. And the time he was there, there was thousands of people that attended the church. They built several buildings. The church was a great church. Great Dallas Billington was a great preacher, a great man. Just an old country hick. No big college education, just went up there to work, preaching, built the church. God used him mightily. And now, we're talking like 15,000 members. Okay? Now there is no Akron Baptist Church. It's not even there. They've sold the building. There's not even an Akron Baptist Temple that Dallas Billington had a part of. Highland Park Baptist Church. I don't know. There's a lot of people may have heard of Lee Robertson and Temple Baptist or Temple University and Highland Baptist Church went down there, a little church. Built the church up to where there were several thousand members, 4,000 or so attended on Sundays and Sunday nights. That's a lot of people. 4,000 people is a lot of people. There ain't even 6,000 some people in the city limits of Somersville. So think about that. 4,000 people on Sunday morning, that wouldn't be a bad Sunday school, would it? Huh? I bet they could sing. I bet 4,000 people rang their rafters. What do you think? Huh? Do you know that there's not even a Highland Park Baptist Church now? Actually, there's not even a Temple University no more. It's gone. Lee Robertson was a great guy, a great man. Clarence Sexton asked him, said, if you could do one thing in your life better, what would you want better? He said, oh, if I just had more faith. Well, my goodness, and what the man done, what God used him to do was a miracle. But I just want you to know, that church is gone. There were thousands there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thousands come regularly. High buses, you name it, they done it. But it's gone. It's not there no more. It's not there no more. Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan. My favorite preacher, Tom Malone, an old Alabama guy, went to Michigan, and he said, never pray for God to send you where he wants you, because he'll take a southerner and take him to snowy Michigan. That's what he always would say. But he was a preaching, the great, wonderful preacher, used of God. Not long before he died, I was in Alva Center, talked with him on the phone. Great guy, great man, wonderful man. And the Brother Boyd preached with him. Just a wonderful man. Had a, Midwestern College, Midwestern Baptist College, trained preachers. Just a great, several thousand, but nothing to have 4,000 in a Sunday morning service. He retired and went on the road as evangelist. The church went down. He went back and pastored it again after the church went down to nothing, built it back up to a couple thousand people when he's in his 80s. 80 years old, preaching again. Built, that's pretty hard to build a church like that. Do you understand that? And then he retired again. You know, there is not, there's not even a building there now. Amen. It's gone. Can you imagine what the communities feel of, in Akron and Chattanooga and Pontiac, Michigan, when a church of that size of Dual Network, can you imagine the hole that it left? And they're gone. Can you imagine all the people? Where do the people go? I wonder where they went. Where do they go to church? Do they, are they in church? Have you ever... Think about that. You know, that'd be a lot. But can I tell you this? There's no way, huh? There's no way they could get over it. And don't ever think that Mountain State couldn't be gone in a split second. Don't ever think that what we have here together could be gone in a blink of an eye. Don't never think it couldn't happen. The importance of this church is greater than you realize. It's greater than you can comprehend. And the keeping of the Word of God and the truth preached and taught and the stand and the work must continue. And Jan stood up. Jan ain't 83 years old. She's mistaken. She can't be 83 years old. Look, we've got to continue. And there's nothing more important for us down here than the church. Now, we got Christ yours, Christ in us, hope of glory. We have the Lord. But can I tell you, we can't do without the church. Now, if you can... If you can do without the church, well, if you can do without the church, you're not, you can't be spiritually right because you're not scripturally right. Okay, so you just think you're making it. If you can do it without the church, because it's scripturally right to go to church. Does everybody understand that? Now, just think about that. So let's look here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is so important. It is a foundation. I do have Christ. Yes, I am the church. Yes, I know that. But we're not just talking about a building. We're talking about us together as a church. Everybody understand that? It's not, well, if we all gathered up and got, and everybody here tonight went over to Carnifax and got back here at the backstop at the ball field, guess what? Mountain State Church would be there around the backstop over Carnifax Ferry. You understand that? It ain't the building that makes it. But can I tell you that this building has a lot of memories? How many have been saved in this new building? How many been, hold your hand up if you've been saved in this new building. Huh? There's several of you. All got memories here. Huh? You got memories. Can I tell you, church is important. Huh? How many got blessed in this building? Anybody got blessed in this building? Got the memories, don't you? You understand? Well, you understand this morning, tonight, that the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, there needs to be, there has to be. It demands, the world even demands us, if you, in a sense, that they be a place of truth. And the church of the living God, this is more than just our bodies. We are the tabernacle, we are the church, but we're talking about us together. You understand that? I look here at Acts chapter 20, verse 28, when I think about the importance of the church, the importance of the people, us, the people, Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. It's so important that he purchased with his blood. You are so important that he purchased you with his blood. And he purchased us together to be together, to fellowship together, to have a local fellowship, the body of Christ working in an area that we could be together, that we could glorify the Lord together, and everybody in here is important. It matters not who we be. We're important tonight to the Lord, and we're important one to another. Now hear me tonight. Now we looked this morning that being apart from the church is dangerous. There's times we are apart. There's times we're apart because of sickness or some circumstance. Then there's times we're apart because we've let the circumstance overwhelm us. Then there's times we're apart because things have happened in our life that we don't feel like we're allowed. Do you know there's people who don't think they're welcome back at church? There's people who don't think they're allowed to come back. Did you know that? That they've made a mistake, they've sinned, they've got something wrong in their life, and they're so ashamed that they don't think they're allowed because that the rest of the body, even though they may be praying, they may not have had no healing salve when they talked to them. You hearing me? Can I tell you, but they're still important. They're still important tonight. But can I tell you that when you're apart from the church, it's dangerous. It makes you vulnerable. When you're apart from the church, you're vulnerable. Can I tell you, it'll almost work every time. If you miss one Sunday, the next Sunday, you got to think about it. You miss one Sunday for no reason. The next Sunday, you'll think about whether or not you ought to go or not. If you miss that Sunday, the third Sunday is easy to miss. And after you miss three, you probably got to be invited back. Are you hearing me? It just happens. It just happens. That's the way it is. And you become vulnerable. You become vulnerable to lies. You become vulnerable to misconceptions. You become vulnerable to attacks by the enemy. It causes you to become weak. You can't be strong and miss church. Now, if we was going to think of a spiritual giant, I can't drink it, and I'll get it all over my head. I'll forget about it. Thank you. If we would think to us, I don't know how y'all feel. This is how I feel. I consider Miss Hope a giant. I consider her a giant in the faith, if you would. But ask her how strong she feels. She's listening right now. She's probably wet this morning because she couldn't be here. Because she had planned to be here this morning. I talked with her last night. She had planned to be here. And I'm sure she had planned even to be here this evening. But can I tell you that the days, the times, the services that she misses, she's weak. I'm weak. If I have to miss one service, it affects me. That may not affect you. I know I'm a wretch. I'm sorry, no account. But it affects me to miss one. It affects me. And I become weak, huh? Can I tell you, laying out church will cause you to stumble. Do you know that there's things you would never think about doing if you're faithful to the house of God? But if you're not faithful to the house of God, there's things that you'll slip and do. You know what? You'll stumble. It'll cause you to stumble. The church has such an influence and such a draw on powerful that if you lay out, it'll cause you to stumble. Laying out. Some people think that you stumble and then lay out. Sometimes that's not true. Sometimes you miss and then stumble. You know, they claim, I don't know, Trista ain't here, so, well, there she is. And Pat, some of y'all doctors and nurses, I was told one time that usually you don't fall and break your hip breaks and you fall. I was told that. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. A lot of times you'll turn, your hip breaks, then you fall, and they say, well, you fell and broke your hip. Actually, you broke your hip and fell. Sometimes you lay out and stumble. You don't stumble there. Everybody follow me there? And then, can I tell you, and this is true, and if you think about it. When you get out of church, or regardless of if you're sick or anything else, it don't matter if you're sick or tragedy circumstances, if you miss out, you'll become judgmental. If you're sick, you'll be judgmental about those who didn't check on you. Correct? Think about it. I mean, there'll be some attitude that's normally not there that'll come to you. That's how important the church is. Huh? We okay? Can I tell you, you lay out long enough and it'll harden you to the moving of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit, where you was tender, where God was speaking and you was so tender and He could use you and move you, the now that it's hard and your heart's harder and you're not hardly movable at all. Huh? That's just the way it is. It's dangerous being apart from the church. All right? We need the church. Why? Well, we looked at it this morning. We need the church to bring us to Christ. Now, the church don't save us, but we're talking about the church. Somebody had to tell us about the Lord. Whether it was at the church house or at the house or down to LaDawn. LaDawn just testified she wasn't in the church. She was in a pickup truck. I got saved in a pickup truck. But can I tell you, it was because that the church left the track. And the church is the one that brought her to Christ. Somebody in the body of Christ brought her to Christ. Now you understand it. That's how important the church is. We need the church to pray for us. Man, I thank God the church prays for me. And if it ain't but just a couple of you tell me, then wonderful. But I believe more than just a couple pray for me. But the couple come by and says, well, I'm praying for man. Thank you, thank you. Every now and then I'll get a text. It might be odd times of the day. Praying for you, Pastor. Well, you don't know what it does for me to get that. Huh? I can't hardly stand it. It just wears me out. Normally, it brings me to tears. Here, 1 o'clock in the day, who texts you 1 o'clock in the day saying, I'm praying for you? Ain't nobody praying at 1 o'clock in the day. Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. I'm glad that somebody prayed for me. What is also, somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. Remember that song? I'm glad somebody prayed for me. Hey, we need the church to help us grow in the Word. That's my job. That's Brother Rick's job. That's Brother Dennis. We're to teach you and preach to you and teach you the doctrines of the Scripture, the teaching of the Scripture, that you may grow. That's what we have church for. We need a church for fellowship and encouragement. We looked at that this morning, Hebrews 10. It says that we ought to consider one another, provoking one another into love, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together, as a matter of some is, and much the more as you see that they approach, not like others are, but much the more as you see that they're approaching. Right? Does everybody understand? The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, we ought to be encouraging more by coming to church, consider we ought to consider one another instead of ourselves. All right? And encouragement. It's an encouragement. I'm encouraged tonight. You're here tonight. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. Huh? I wish others was here. I wish everybody that had ever come to church in the 20 years I've been here, I wish everybody was here. It would. I might have a little bit of excitement in me. Huh? Maybe just a little bit. That'd be a pile of us, wouldn't it? Huh? We need a church to help our testimony in the world. Can I tell you, go up to somebody, witness to them about their soul. You just, oh, I would never darken the door of church. Well, you ain't going to win them to the Lord, because they're going to say, well, there's something wrong, and I don't want what you got. I've got enough trouble. Hmm? We all right with that? So that's why we need that. And that was this morning. That's just review. Huh? And we looked at three things this morning, then main things that show the church importance. Now, let's look at some more. All right, everybody ready? This is not review now. Now, this morning we looked at the fellowship it provides, the discipleship it provides, and the place of restoration that it provides. That's what we looked at this morning. Y'all got that? Now, let's look now. How about the maturity it provides? The church brings maturity. Huh? If you will stick in here, if you'll stick in here and listen, stick in here and read your Bible and do as the Bible is taught and preached, then you will mature as the Christian that God wants you to be. You'll have more than just I'm saved. Now, it's good to have I'm saved. But you're not going to mature missing out at the church house. Huh? Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, this is why we speak the truth in love. This is why this is Ephesians chapter 4. You have some apostles and pastors and evangelists and teachers and all that, you know, and tells us then, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head of Christ, that we might grow up, that we might be mature. Do you know that there are people that are saved people, but they know nothing more than they know they're saved. Right. All right? But they don't know anything else because they've never come enough to be taught, to be showed the Scripture, to be showed the Word of God, to be showed where it's at. Okay? See, whether you realize it or not, every Christian in here tonight can't take the Bible and prove the deity of Christ. Every Christian here can't take the Bible and even lead somebody to the Lord with the Bible. Everybody in here cannot prove to me that the rapture will take place before the tribulation. But if you'll come enough and listen, then you'll know the truth of the Bible. Are you listening to me? All right? That we can grow up here. You can grow up at Mountain State Baptist. You can grow up. There's enough Bible here that you can grow up. Huh? Now, everybody might not like Rick Childers. I can't imagine, but everybody might not. Everybody might not like Rick Childers' teaching. I can't imagine, but everybody might not. But I know one preacher that does, and that's this preacher. And this preacher, the first series of lessons that Rick Childers taught in the old sanctuary, when he come through Hebrews, and then he went over into Genesis, and then I told him, I said, won't you just teach the epistles? And he started teaching verse by verse. When Rick Childers taught the first time through Hebrews, I thought I would explode. Most of y'all wasn't even here. The first time I went through Hebrews with Brother Rick, Rick, I want you to know, if you never, it's like I bought the staplers, greatest thing I ever done. Did y'all know that? Do you know that how encouraging Brother Rick is? We're in there, and I preached and pastored all these years. He said, the greatest thing you ever done, preacher, is you bought this stapler. It's one of them long neck staplers that you can staple inside the middle of a book. And I said, that's so encouraging. I've given my life for the gospel, and the greatest thing I've done was bought a stapler. Brother Rick, But can I tell you that I got so excited about my Bible? I read my Bible, wore my Bibles out, read commentary, but I got so excited about the Bible when Rick Childers taught me Hebrews. It's just wonderful, great. Give us more, And I'm like that in Sunday school. That's why I don't miss Sunday school. Do you know that there's a lot of preachers who won't go to Sunday school? The majority reason is because they're too proud to go. They think they know everything. You know? But some of them call Sunday school use them blasted, hellish, ungodly Union Gospel Press courtlies. That's right out of hell as far as I'm concerned. Huh? That's just my opinion. All right? I like a Bible. I don't like a quarterly. Quarter in one hand, a quarterly in the other, and live like hell after you go out of Sunday school. Anyway, that's another message. But we can grow up in the church house. Then, the accountability it provides. The church is important because of the accountability that it provides. Think about that. Hebrews 13:17 says this, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself. That submitting yourself here is accountability. You understand that we're accountable. Now, I am a pastor, sure, but I'm still accountable to you. But look here, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. But we're accountable one to another. Now, as your leader, you're accountable to me in a sense. I'm accountable to you, though. If I step out of line, if I get immoral, and y'all don't pitch me out, then y'all going to be in trouble. Correct? You know, if I go embezzling and have immorality and then false doctrine, it ain't Preacher Mark. It's get out apostate and pitch me out on the pavement and get a handful of rocks and rock me out to the end of the driveway. Huh? But I'm accountable to you. You're accountable to me. The local church makes us accountable. This body makes one another accountable that we will live right, that we will live better, that we will live closer because of the accountability that we have one to another. Think about that. It's important. It's important. We don't just live any old way. We're accountable. Huh? You parents have entrusted me with these young men. Are y'all going to hold me accountable? Well, what if I go teach them, but it's all right taking a nip every now and then? Y'all going to stand for that? It's okay to chew and cuss and look at dirty magazines. What if I start teaching them, it's okay. Don't worry about that, y'all kids, y'all boys. How long y'all going to let me teach them? Huh? Ain't gonna be long, is it? Huh? I'm accountable. I'm accountable. But I'm accountable to you to preach to you the gospel, to preach to you what the Bible says. But then you're accountable to me that you obey the gospel. And then we're all accountable to the Lord. Does everybody understand? We're accountable. See, it is my best. You know, I always say this, and in a sense, you know, all church work is voluntary. Even my position is voluntary. Right? I mean, I don't have to be here. I can go somewhere else. Everybody understand that? All right? But can I tell you, when it comes to our life, what you do is my business. How you live is my business. How your kids live is my business. Where you go is my business. It really is. Now, I can't change it. I can't make you do anything, but it is my business. And nothing else that puts me to my knees to try to change the situation that you're going in, or the direction you're going in. Everybody with me on that? Everybody understand? So that's just one of the things, the importance of the church. Are we okay? The church, us being together, provides a place to bring glory to God. Have you ever thought that when you come in tonight that you brought with you something in you to glorify the Lord? Did you know that we ought to be prepared to glorify the Lord? Now, let's see if we can't look here. Ephesians 3:21 says, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. Can I tell you that the Lord's supposed to get all the glory in the church, right?
Right.
But look, you're a trophy of grace. What greater glory can you bring the Lord than to show that you're a trophy of grace? Huh? Everybody with me? Of what He brought you from. Of the life that He saved you from. And you're a trophy of grace, and God is pleased because His Son is glorified because of the change that He made in your life. Think about that. And you coming to the house of God brings glory to the Lord. You're not going to the world. You're coming to His house. That you're not singing like the world. You're singing His praise. That you're, and it's not just being here, but you alone can tell what He's done for you. Huh? Trista sings that song in Alabaster Box. You don't know the cost. You don't know what was in my box. Huh? John Johnson always stands and looks at everybody and says, "I was worse than any of you." Huh? To John, he was worse than anybody in here. But all the glory, John, the glory God gets when you stand and say, "Oh, He saved me on that Easter Sunday so long ago." That's glory, because nobody can tell what He's done for you like you can tell. Huh? And oh, it's important that we do that here in the house of God. It's important. You are a trophy of grace. If you're saved tonight. These young men that's been saved, they may have not have ever done what you did, John, but the Bible says they was guilty of the same things. And when y'all trusted Christ, y'all's trophies of grace, just like these old heads in here that was mean as sin, had done things that you don't even understand what it is. Huh? Are you hearing me? They've been, there's people in this church that have spoken words that you've never heard and hope you don't ever. Huh? And your trophies of grace. Look what He's done for you. Huh? Not just say, look what He's done for you since He saved you. Huh? That brings glory in the church to the Lord. Oh, the church is so important tonight. It provides a workplace. The church provides a workplace. Ain't that interesting? Huh? Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now it's the church house. And we have opportunity. And we have opportunity, we ought to do good, especially to those folks down at the house of God, down at the church house. Huh? We ought to be doing one another good. It's a place to work. It's a place to serve. Y'all hearing me tonight? Huh? 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Huh? And I'm going to tell you that there is no ministry or work apart from the local church because of that accountability that we just told you about, that we're accountable. Do you know that the missionaries that we support here in the church, they're accountable to us because we give them money. That's why we want their letters to see what they're doing. That's why I'll pick up a phone and call them. Do you know, when I first come to here to Mountain State, I ain't going to give no names, but when I first come here to Mountain State, I didn't know who some of these missionaries was. I never had heard of them. So, y'all know me, you just ask. So I called them on the phone. And I said, who are you? What are you doing? And they told me, I said, well, how much money you make? How much support you got? Well, a couple of them, you know, there was no problem. They told me. One of them said, well, I don't know if that's any of your business. And I said, of course it's my business. We're supporting you, and yes, it's our business. Well, I don't know that I'll tell you. I said, why, are you a crook? That was my next word. Are you a crook? And he said, well, no. I said, well, how much money are you making in? He said, well, I have a salary of $60,000. I said, wow, that's gone. I said, where are you at on the field? He said, well, I'm not on the field. I'm a director. And I'm here in the States. I stay in the States. I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, well, what do you do then? He said, I go to mission conferences. I said, okay, you preach them? He said, yes. Well, how many? He said, about 48 a year. I'm going about every week. I said, really? I said, do they give you love offering? He said, yeah. I said, so what's your total income in? Well, I don't know that that's any better. I said, yeah, I need to know. If you're already getting $60,000 a year, I'd like to know how much you're getting on love offering. He said, well, my total income is a little better than $100,000 a year. I said, well, you're a charlatan. That's what I told him. I said, so we're dropping you immediately. And we did. You know why? Because he was accountable. He was accountable. I'll never forget. I called Bobby Fitz. Bobby Fitz is a great missionary. He was in Japan. He's done, I don't even know if he's alive now. Great guy. He was in Japan for 49 years. He started a church and got it grown, left that church, started another in 7 years. Started 7 churches, 49 years, all self-supported in Japan. Great work, great preacher. I think he might be a North Carolina guy. Anyway, I called him. He had an old, rough, raspy voice. I called him, told him who it was. What do you want? And I said, well, I said, I'd like to know what your income is. And he got real quiet. He said, why? And I said, well, I'm wanting to see what all's going on because you're accountable. Bless God, you're the first preacher to ever ask me. What do you want to know? I'll tell you. And he told me every detail. And I don't know if some of y'all remember, we're still in Old Sanctuary. He'd come in when he retired and he'd come to church. He said, don't want to preach. I want to hear you preach. I want you to, y'all feed me tonight. I want, it's just old rough, you know. But you know what? He was accountable. Can I tell you, there's no ministry apart from local church. We okay? But we have a place to work. Is everybody understanding me tonight? That's why the church is important. See, where you know it or not, there's more to a pastor than just preaching on Sunday. Huh? Just a little bit. We still okay. It provides a place to bring new Christians. And you say, well, that's odd. Well, what would you do with them? You're out there winning them to the Lord. What are you doing with them? Have any right crawl to have a baby thrown in the street, buddy? Huh? You don't do that. You win someone to the Lord, you bring them to the house of God. Huh? Is that not what the Bible says? How about Matthew 28:19-20? It says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. We're supposed to go get them saved and disciple them. We're supposed to do something with them. It's a place. The church is important. It's a place. It provides a place for new Christians. Huh? You know, there's nothing better than new Christians in the church. There's nothing better than a new Christian that's really a new Christian and they're excited about it and they don't care to make a fool of themselves. You know, I love a new Christian that's just got saved plumb through and they stand and they don't know how to testify. But they got to because it's inside burning them up. And they got to say, God save me, and I'm so glad. Hey, ain't that no better? Ain't that no better than this to a new Christian pray? They stumble around and try to pray like we do, all sanctimonious, and then they forget it and they just go talking to Him. And ain't nothing more wonderful than that. Listen, the church provides that place. I'm trying to tell us today the importance of a church. We still okay? And every person is vital to the church. I know for a fact, if everybody in here would be honest with me, you feel like that you're nothing and we could do without you. There'll be somebody that feels that way. That's not true. We can't do without you. We can't do without you. Now, I'm gonna need a couple of my mighty men here in a minute. I'm gonna give you the illustration tonight. Let's look here at the Scripture. Is everybody still okay with me? For as the body is one, the church, us, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, I think I left something out there. What's that supposed to say there after that? Let me get my Bible. I apologize for misuse of the Word of God. That's copy and paste. Copy and paste. For the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. I apologize for that mistake. All right? Everybody okay? You forgive me?
Yeah.
For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased Him. Not us, but Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. The ones that are weaker, don't sin, that's the ones we ought to even cater to. And can I tell you, we do, in a sense, can I tell you that we all treat Larry Mullins different than we treat anybody else in the church?
Right.
Do we not? Why is that? And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Because he can't do what the rest of us do. He never could. We still okay? For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism, no division, no trouble, no strife, no fussing loud. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. All right? Now, David, come here. I need David. Levi, I need you to come here. Let's see. Come here, Wyatt. I need y'all to come here. Let's just get down in front. Y'all just stand there. And come here, Kenton. Right, Kathy. Y'all just stand up here and face the people. Get your hand out of your pockets and face the people. All right. Hold this around your head and participate a little bit. Participate a little bit. Give me your hand. Give me your hand. Hold it right there. Give me your hand. Hold it right there. Now, don't move your hands. All right? Don't move your hands. 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 Now, he's blind. He's blind. He can't do much. He can't do much. Huh? Won't you help him? Won't you take him over yonder? And over, he's going to sing a special. He's going to have Trista to help him. So you take him over there. See, you may not be the one blind, but you're going to have to be helping the one that is. See, both of them is important. Is that true? Which one? Y'all just sit down right there. I'll holler at you in a minute. Help him. He can't see. He's dumb as a rock. He don't even know how to hold his hands up. Help him. Help him. Huh? You understand? We wouldn't leave someone alone, would we? See, they're important and they can't see. But let me tell you who's more important. Why? Because the one that can't see needs somebody. And that's how important you are to the church. That's how important. Now, this might be a little bit more drastic, all right, but I just wanted to do this to David. Now, that ain't what y'all think either. Right, stand out here. And just stand still. Just stand still. All right, take off, boy. No, see, he can't walk good. See, sometimes this Christian life that we live, you can't walk the way that you need to walk like others walk. Sometimes you have struggles and you're limited and your steps ain't as sure as some of the others in the church. So you don't throw them away because they're not necessary. No, no, no. They're more necessary. And what they need is a big brother to take them. And sometimes you can't do it yourself. So which one of you boys is stout? I want somebody to come here. Titus, come here. Y'all just carry him. Huh? If y'all can't do it, we'll get you more help. Huh? Pick him up and carry him. Huh? Take him around. Take him slow. We're not running no race. We're trying to be nice. What we're trying to do, we're trying to get him where he needs to be. He needs to be over here, guys. Don't y'all bring him this way. See, that's where he needs to be. But he can't do it himself. He can't do it by himself. And there's some of us tonight that can't do it by ourselves. And we're all necessary. And the importance of this church is that we all are willing to pick up the ones who can't walk the way they ought to walk. And the ones who can't see and do the things that others can do. That's why you're important. That's why when you miss your opportunity here in the house of God, you're missing. You can sit him down there anywhere one time later. But listen to me. Are you getting my point tonight? It's important. We've got opportunities. That's why if you miss, who's going to carry him? If you miss, who's going to lead him? If this church ain't important to you, then what's going to happen to the ones who want to be here and can't function, but they need your help? See, everybody's necessary. Everybody's necessary. Do you get me tonight? And can I tell you that right now, Ken's depending on White, because I'm not going to take that coat off his head. And he's going to depend on White. He's going to depend on White to get him where he needs to go. Because he can't. But White, you went somewhere else in the world. Can you not walk right? Why not? You walked before. You don't know. What's the matter? Are you deaf too? Just can't see. How come you don't do it? Is it because you're weak? Because you can't see? We don't do that. See, what we need, come here, Woodrow. What we need when that one misses, we don't leave this one alone. Won't you go take care of him? Take him back over where you belong. Are you listening to me? See, you're important tonight. Don't never bring me my coat. Put it back up yonder. Y'all untie him. All right. Are y'all listening to me tonight? I want you to understand that church ain't a game. Being a Christian ain't a game. Oh, but it's fun. Huh? And it's important. And the church of God is important. I'm glad that when I've been weak, there was times that the world was pulling on me. I was going to church, but the world was pulling on me. And God was working in my heart. And I went over to an old man's house, my papa, and sat down on the edge of the bed. And I'll never forget as he sat there looking out at the bird feeder and then in his chair in the back room, had his glasses in his teeth, just looking out the window, and he never looked at me. I went in and sat on the bed. But that old man of God said, "You're on the right track, boy. Just keep going." It was enough to give me just enough of push that I could go on because he was an old saint. Can I tell you that these young ones that's coming and got these little kids, oh, they need you that's older, and they need you to be here, and they need you to direct them, and you that's young, there's others looking to you, there's heroes. These kids have got you as heroes, and they look up to you, and they know about you, and they want to be like you. And the church of God is important. And you're missed when you're not here. And there's a home when you're not here. And as I said earlier this morning, Brother Rick told me last Sunday, me and him and somebody was talking there in the hallway, and I don't know why he said, "Preacher, I count who's here, you count who ain't." And I do. I count who ain't here every Sunday. Every Sunday, I count who ain't here. And I don't miss who is. But I count who ain't here. And then when I go to prayer, can I tell you that I pray more for the ones that ain't here than the ones that are? Because I don't know what you went through. I don't know what came your way. I don't know if it was a tragedy and I didn't get the call. I don't know if something happened in the home. I don't know if there was a sick child, somebody's laying sick and was going on the way to the hospital. I don't know. I don't know, see. So I pray for you that ain't here. And then when I pray for you that ain't here, and if you got children, then I pray you call your children's name out. Are you listening to me? Why? Because you're important. You're important. You're important. You are necessary. We okay? We okay? Thank you, gentlemen, for helping me. Of all the things we get from coming to church, and we'll close with what I closed with this morning. How much have you missed? How much have you missed? Let's examine ourselves real quick and we'll go to the house. Is everybody with me tonight? We all miss sometimes. We know that. Everybody misses sometimes. I missed before. When I was in the hospital in the stroke, I didn't come. Huh? I did just soon I got out. Huh? We okay? I'm not trying to say I'm better than you. I'm just telling you I need the church. Are you hearing me? Talk to me. When I fell off the house back in October, I was at church on Sunday. I was here at the pulpit and I preached that Sunday. I had to start revival for Roby that Monday. I couldn't lay out on Sunday and then go preach revival. That would have been unfair. That wouldn't have been ethical. Huh? Are you listening to me? It wasn't Roby's fault that I had fell off the house. Why would I cancel a revival for people been praying and fasting? Maybe I couldn't tell them I wasn't coming. That wouldn't have been right. Because of my stupidity? Well, I couldn't do that. Are we okay? But that's me. That may not be you. That was me. All right? But we miss. And everybody misses. But anytime anybody misses, 100% of us that miss suffer. We suffer something. We miss something. We miss something. Have you ever been praying for somebody and they get saved and something happens, you had to miss? Oh man, I knew. Just soon I missed. That's when that happened. You ever said it? Well, we got to see it. No, we can't be like that. What I'm telling you, you missed something. You missed something. We still okay? It may not be to the same degree, but we all lose something regardless of the reason. Now here at Mountain State Baptist Church, listen to me now. Pay close attention. All right, we're given 4 times a week that we can come and be together as a church. 4 times a week, opportunity of being together. Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, Sunday evening worship, Wednesday evening, and that's a total of 208 times a year. That's how often we can assemble as a church to help one another and do all this, okay? I just want to show you how serious it is. And the ones that was here this morning, you've seen this, and you didn't ever think of it. And maybe if you're downstairs tonight, you ain't watched, or this morning, maybe you can catch it or you wasn't here this morning. Many can't come on Wednesday because of work. We all know that. That happens. You got a job. You can't quit your job because you can't hear to work. Right? But you automatically miss 52 times if you work on Wednesday. You automatically miss 52 times out of 208 opportunities. Huh? And it only gives you 156 opportunities to be an encouragement or to teach somebody or to help somebody in the church house or carry the load of their burden. Huh? You only have now 156 opportunities. Now, some never come to Sunday school for some odd reason, and I say again, I don't understand why, but if you don't come, that's your business. I can just tell you I worry about it, but I think it's an odd that you don't. Okay? Just want to make sure everybody understands that. But that's 52 more times missed. That leaves 104 opportunities left. Huh? 104. This means that you've already missed, in a year's time, 104 services. Did everybody catch that? Just because of not coming Wednesdays and Sunday schools. Many never come on Sunday night. I'm so glad you're here tonight. But many didn't come back tonight. And if you don't come on Sunday night, or people don't come on Sunday night, then that's 52 more services that's missed out. See, some people has never been to church on Sunday night. Some people has never been to church on a Wednesday, and some people has never went to Sunday school. This never happened. I mean, they just don't do it. That means that you've missed 156 opportunities to worship, to be taught, or to encourage someone. That's a lot, ain't it? Ain't that a lot? Because we only had 208 opportunities anyway for the church we come to. Now you have 52 opportunities left. Well, we're going to probably miss at least 2 Sundays on vacation. There's 50. Then family reunion, you know, we always have them on Sundays because we're too tight to miss a day's work. So we have them on Sundays. And we miss God's house. Okay? So that brings us down to 49. There's a possibility of getting sick on Sunday. You know, viruses don't care whether it's Sunday or Wednesday or Tuesday or Saturday. Right? When you get sick, you get sick. Right? So now we have roughly, 49 opportunities left out of 208. 49 opportunities. Now, wait a minute. That's if you come every time other than them other ones you miss. Now, if you miss for any other reason, then that number lessens from 49. And it lessens and lessens of whether you're sick. Regardless of the circumstance, that's not the issue. But it lessens and lessens and lessens. Then how strong are you spiritually if you've done thrown away 156 opportunities to be taught and encouraged? And you can't be strong spiritually. You can't. You can't do it. Huh? Are you listening to me? You ain't got the strength to fight the enemy like necessary. That's how important the church is. Huh? The trials of life are hard if you do everything. But if all these things is come against us and we're lessened, how do we handle the issues of life? I need the church. I don't know what others need. I need the church. I need the church. Do I get along with everybody in the church? Well, I hope I do. Do I agree with everybody? Absolutely not. Huh? Do I love everyone? Absolutely. Do I need everyone? Absolutely. Are you important to my life? Absolutely. 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 Can I be honest? If you don't come, it's down in the 40s or lower. Be honest. I doubt very seriously if you're beating the brush trying to win souls. I doubt very seriously if you're a great soul winner and never come to church. Would that be a fair assumption? I doubt very seriously if you're a big soul winner. And shouldn't that be the first priority? We need revival in our church. That's why we've brought this message. We need revival in our heart. That's why we brought this message. We need revival with one another. That's why we've brought this message. We need revival in the faithfulness to the house of God. That's why we've brought this message. But it all stems on what we're willing to do. That's where it all stems from. So, can I say this? Do you see the importance of the church? Huh? Now I'll give the invitation like I did this morning. Maybe you slipped. Maybe you're slipping. Maybe you're in the process of slipping a little bit. And maybe you've done slipped. Maybe if something don't change, you will slip. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? Huh? I've prayed over this message. I've studied this message. And I sat out on the deck this morning and just look and I examined myself. And all to get to the house of God. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. The church is so important that before he closed the Bible up, he wrote to the 7 main churches in the region. Wrote a letter to them that would be recorded and read from now on. Because of the importance of the church of Ephesus, Sardis and Smyrna, Thyatira and Philadelphia, Pergamos, eating the church. You know, they don't say the church at Laodicea. You seen that when he was teaching the other Sunday, didn't you, Rick? It don't say the church at Laodicea. It says the church of the Laodiceans. Must be important because he wrote us the letter. I'm going to ask you, what are you willing to do? Father, help us tonight. We can't do none of this what I've preached without you. We're helpless. We're weak. Lord, we're wretches. That's what Paul said to us. He said he was a wretch and he was the best, so I can't be no more than that. Lord, I pray tonight that we might see the importance of the church. We might help one another. In Jesus' name, amen.